everybody. Ben Starr and Kevin O'Donohue here with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Kevin, I had a great time talking about tattoos last week, and we did get a lot of great feedback from all of you. So thank you to those of you who wrote us emails, who gave us a call, who said hello on social media. Again, you can always send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org. You can contact Kevin directly.
Kevin at thepositivemind.com.
We love hearing from you. We are here now, as you know, Wednesdays 3 to 5 instead of Tuesdays from 1 to 2 and Wednesdays from 1 to 2. And we're very pleased to be here as well.
Indeed we are, Ben. And yes, we have to play that tune by a listener last week, Ken, who sent us a tune. Okay. Anyway, we'll see where we go. But we did neglect to do something last week, Ben. We gave this idea about men walking on a beach, seeing women lying down on the beach, and half of them with a tattoo, and half of them without. And we asked the question, which of the two types of women would be more approached by men? And we did have one caller who did tell us what the answer was, but we were waiting to take more of a poll, and we forgot to give the answer. And the answer is 2.5 times more women with tattoos on their back are approached than women without the tattoos. And one woman called in, and she guessed it. She said when she was growing up, women with tattoos were thought of as loose and free and easy and such and such. The ambiance and mood of things has changed since then, but people still have this idea in their mind that when a person has a tattoo, that there's something about them that is either approachable in the case of women or threatening in some cases. I mean, the guy who was with us, Jason Ackerman, was telling us people don't sit next to him on the subway.
Yeah, it was pretty eye-opening for me. I mean, that's not something that I would think about people with tattoos, to not sit near them.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, there's a lot of different perceptions, a lot of different maybe misperceptions. But it certainly was enlightening to me. And as I had mentioned, neither of you or I have any tattoos.
Right.
So it wasn't
right.
like we were kind of making a statement for or against.
Right.
We were just trying to explore this subject as we like to do here on The Positive Mind.
And people loved it. People loved it. I met a few people afterwards, even later in the week, and they left me an email and a couple of voicemail and said, it's a topic that has such a broad range. And virtually every person who heard it or listened to the show or talked to me about it or I talked to them about said, what a great idea. What a great topic, because it is a psychological thing.
Sure.
Right? It's quite a commitment to put some body art.
It's a forever commitment.
It's a forever commitment. And what goes into the mindset of somebody who's willing to do that? It takes a kind of daring in some ways.
It's a very good point, Kevin. And beyond the mindset, what does it reveal about the personality of someone who's maybe has, you know, multiple tattoos?
Yeah.
Because it certainly, I think, reveals something. Has to be said for the personality differences between someone who's covered in ink and someone who has no ink.
Yeah. Yeah, there are. And we came across a bunch of them. We came across a bunch of them last week. Risk taking. I mean, that's one of the things that psychologists have measured as a quality that is applicable
sure.
to people who get tattoos. This person is someone, obviously, who's willing to take a huge commitment like this, willing to take a risk. And imagine up the ante a little bit when you want to put your girlfriend's name on your arm.
Well, we learned that that's generally a bad idea. Right?
Not only bad, yeah. It's like 2 or 3 months remorse.
Yeah.
Right? It's not even 10 years, but it's pretty quickly.
Right. Stick to the names of your children. Right.
Right. this is
a lot harder to regret those.
This is a good idea. So we got a lot of feedback on this idea about tattoos. And we're very sure that it does. There's a kind of personality that is accepting of tattoos. You got to be ready. You know, a lot of people, we talked about the journey of getting a tattoo, that there may be many, many years of saying, no way, I would never. And then there's a softening, and then there's an interest. And then, you know, then there's a sampling. A lot of people will get temporary tattoos, you know, before they make the decision for the full one. I think that's a great one. And I think Jason was telling us that people take generally a few months before they come in and are ready to actually get the tattoo. They're coming in and they're like fishing around looking for types of tattoos and things, but that it's really a couple of months process.
On the other hand, I think personality wise, I would argue that probably most people who do get tattoos aren't the types who really were against it until later in life. I think most people were probably completely gung-ho and went out and couldn't wait to turn 18, even from a young age, to get their tattoos. So I don't know, Kevin. We've discussed for a long time now different ways of considering people's personalities. We've talked about the Enneagram as one way that reveals the way that people think and feel and experience emotion.
Yes.
You know, there are all kinds of other more conventional ideas on personality, like astrology, for example.
Sure.
Right? That's a pretty old one.
Yes, it is.
Myers-Briggs. Myers-Briggs is a big one that's become very popular with the rise of the internet.
Right? Anthony Gregoric.
The Gregoric.
Thinking styles. There's a whole bunch of personality traits, personality factors, personality assessments that are going on out there. And today we want to talk about one with you. Probably the most popular one in psychology. It's called the five-factor model. The five-factor model of psychology traits. And we're going to run them down with you. It's going to be a lot of fun. These are really back in the 70s. Back in the 70s, they first came out with this typology. And it's basically on five characteristics. I'm not going to tell you what they are just right now. We do want to start getting calls again very quickly in the show because we want to lead into these five factors that pretty much are stable, Ben, across countries. You know, it's, you know, a lot of times, like with the Enneagram, people will have trouble finding certain types that fit in different countries. You know, certain countries are a type of Enneagram. Like America is like a three, Ben. Like we're a very achievement-oriented.
But
we're not an eight. We are a three. We have an eight president right now. But we have a three country because we're very driven by success and achievement. Yeah, you know, people wonder, like, the Enneagram doesn't always apply in certain places. What we want to do today before we give you this five-factor model is to find out what is it people are saying about you. It's hard enough to guess, well, what are my traits? Who am I? What am I all about? It's easier to guess, you know, to say what other people say about you. Right? Do you get that?
You mean what do I hear from others?
Yeah, like what would people say is Ben's major, one word to describe, you know, a trait.
Inquisitive, or I guess talkative.
Talkative.
I'm a communicator, I guess, is what I mean to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I would say bold.
Okay.
You're a bold person. You face things, and you go at them, and you're fearless. There's a kind of fearlessness to you about them. And you take whatever's coming at you and you sort of hang in there with it. I think you're kind of bold. But anyway, people would say different things. What does your mom, what does your dad say is your dominant quality?
You know, I'd have to ask him.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Or your friends. What do all your friends seem to say? Let's see, all my friends used to think OD is like a considerate guy. Like I would be the one who would say, oh, don't do that because he's got a mother and, you know, we don't want to do that to some guy who's got a mother.
The outgoing one of the friend group, the most gregarious, the most open to others, most talkative.
So you would go at a party.
Yeah.
You would go up to meet strangers and talk to them.
Yeah. I mean, in high school, right, among my group of guy friends, I was the one, you know, the emissary to the group of girls to try to reach
really
out. Yeah,
you wanted to hang around Ben at lunchtime because he had a way of just engaging people around him, and you still do that. I've watched you. You're still very engaging.
So what does that say in this model that you're talking about my personality?
I think it would say you're more, you tend to seek connection outside of yourself, that you have an ability or an ease or a comfort level, let's call it a comfort level, to connect with people and go out towards people. And that kind of trait would be like an extrovert.
Okay.
You're more extroverted. Like, you look for excitement in the environment. You're not the type who's going to go home and read Kierkegaard. you like to meet people and engage with people and find fun with people. Fun is a very big aspect of your life.
That's a good point.
So that tends to be like an extrovert, whereas an introvert would be, I need to get my space from people. I need to disengage. I need to get away. The place where I'm most myself is when I'm by myself, not when I'm with other people. So there's that polarity, this very much need for engagement with people and very much need to be off by myself.
So just by virtue,
not that either one is right. There is no right or wrong. You know,
sure.
Introverts are very creative and have a very dynamic personality structure and can be very friendly and engaged with people, but they're not good at parties.
But what really is astonishing to me, Kevin, is the fact that I can tell you one or two pieces of information about my past, about my friendships, in how it relates to my personality, and you're able mm-hmm. to sort of deduce other information, which is true. I didn't tell you that, you know, I was the type of person who
yeah.
seeks fun, or that, you know, you were able to deduce that
sure.
from just a few tidbits of information about my past friendships
yeah.
and relationships. And that's why I'm really looking forward to hear what else we can deduce about personalities from this five-factor model you're talking about.
Yeah, and I think it's great information to have, because you can take it wherever you go. And there are people who are using it throughout the world. It's relevant cross-culturally, unlike in some cases people feel like sometimes the Enneagram is not so useful in different environments, different cultures. But with the five-factor model, it is consistent across cultures. And you can use it to, you know, really stay centered yourself and not be affected by people, right? Knowledge is power. When you know this stuff about people, and this is really breaking it down to five elements, if you can quickly say, I'm in a place where a person is difficult. I'm having a reaction to this person. What are they? Let me run through the five factors and see if I can sort of release any kind of tension I might have about it. But to warm it up, Ben, I think we should play that little piece about what is it we wanted to play.
If you're just tuning in, you're
actually
listening to
the
Positive Mind
right.
here at 99.5 FM WBAI. And we're talking about personality today,
yeah.
including a very exciting five-factor model, different way of looking at personality. We would like to take your calls, and we did want to ask listeners about your personality.
Yeah. So let's go down this with one word that people use to describe you. We're going to tell you how this is related to the five-factor model as we go along. We don't want to give it all away right away. But what is it, one word that people are using to describe you? 212-757-5555. We have 2 hours. We're really going to give you a lot of information in these 2 hours. You'll be able to use this on the rest of your summer, whether you're away with friends or family or you're with people just here in the city. You can use this to really kind of keep your space from them and keep from being affected by people.
212-757-5555. We'd love to hear from you. What is one word that you or other people in your life would use to describe your personality? One word, if you can sum it up. I know it's hard.
Yeah. What's another word for you? That friends.
Stubborn.
Absolutely.
Stubborn. Definitely.
Right. You can also write more than one word. I mean, but we want to get multiple callers
yeah.
today. But stubborn, yes. Yes. I wonder if that goes along with extroversion. You know, like we're talking of being extroverted, but is stubbornness connected to that? I have to look that up. A lot of these, yes. So that kind of sticks with my concept of you being bold, that you are sure of yourself on some level. And so a stubbornness is like a person who is sure of themselves can be very stubborn. They're not willing to bend or to give in. No, I know the right answer. I have it. I'm doing it. Don't stay away. No, there's no information that's going to make me change my mind. So I could see that with you, Ben. Stubbornness.
212-757-5555. Taking your calls on personality. And, you know, it's great to be here, Kevin, after quite a series of having had guests and special episodes, special interviews.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been quite a while since it's just been you and I in here.
Let's end of summer relaxation here on The Positive Mind, Ben. Right? Let's have a nice relaxed couple of hours talking to people about personality, about tools that you can use to make people not get to you, not really interfere with you. But we're going to give you a little taste of what we're talking about. What does that remind you of?
Being at the beach?
Yeah, being at the beach. Which is, you know, this is the most beach popular month of the year. We thought for those of you who could not get out there to the beach, that would bring the sound of the beach to you. And it's kind of relevant, Ben, to what we're talking about today, because when they talk about the five-factor personality model, they're talking about ocean. O-C-E-A-N, ocean.
And those are the five factors.
Those are the five factors. And let's take the first one, right? So this can be measured. It's a quality. Do you know people who are open, like, or just like an open book?
Sure.
People who are curious, people who are not stubborn, you know, people who are looking for new information, are constantly curious, trying to find new things to do, new reasons for to explain things, people who are in touch with their feelings, people who are creative.
That would be an open individual.
Would be an open individual.
And what would the opposite of that be?
The opposite would be closed to experience. A person who knows, you know, what they want or knows what they have and do not want anything new to disrupt their lives. Like, do you know people like that? That, you know, they have the one belief or the philosophy or the code of ethics or the political positions or whatever it is, and they don't need any more information and they don't want any more information.
Well, you said at the beginning, Kevin, that there's no right or wrong way to be in any of these. So is
right.
Is open necessarily a good thing, and is closed necessarily a bad thing when it comes to this five-factor model of personality?
Well, in terms of happiness, right, if you're and only in that regard, right? There is a correlation between openness and happiness. Whereas for closed, there's actually a shorter lifespan.
Really?
Yes. There's a correlation between a shorter lifespan and being uninterested in anything new.
That's interesting. I mean, what about the person who's open to hard drugs or, you know, open to risky experiences?
Well, it's a really great point, Ben, because when you learn these five factors, you can see and you can do the research. Like, there are certain things, certain character traits, personality traits, that are more vulnerable to certain mental health issues. And with openness is a danger, a correlation to higher substance abuse, higher risk-taking behavior. Take tattoos.
Yeah.
Generally, people who take tattoos would probably rate high on the openness factor. There's a creativity dimension to openness. And so expansion, experimentation, risk-taking.
I can tell you that from my vantage point, there are all kinds of ideas that have been very tempting to me for as long as I can remember.
Like what?
They may not be good ideas.
Right.
Like getting in a car and driving 100 miles an hour for the thrill of it, the adrenaline.
Mm.
Right? Bungee jumping, skydiving.
Right. Yeah.
Not that these are inherently negative things, but they're certainly not without risk. Even, you know, the thought of hopping on a freight train and not even knowing where it's going, that to me is a thrilling
concept.
Have
you ever had that fantasy?
I've never done it, but, you I've definitely thought about it.
Yes, and there is that identification that goes with openness, identification with adventure and adventurous people and a longing for adventure. So fantasy, Ben, is a quality of a person who is an open to experience personality, whereas a person who is closed to experience does not have a typically rich fantasy life. They don't picture themselves in a variety of scenarios. So we want to take your calls today. We're just on the first one, openness to experience versus closed to experience. 212-757-5555. You can tell us about one of your personality traits, and I could tell you what people are telling you about yourself, which of these five qualities you're going to fit into, because this is pretty thorough. This covers a lot of ground. So if people say, let's say you're generous, Ben, that's going to relate very much to one of the five factors we'll talk about. So 212-757-5555. We do have Sean on the line. And yes. Are you enjoying the waves?
Yes.
How are you, Sean?
I am all right. I am a frequent listener still.
Good. Love to have you back.
Yeah, but you know, I listen more than I really communicate back with you guys.
I'm glad you called us today. What is one quality people say that you definitely have?
Well, it's the quality of life. It's the first quality still, you know. And that's what I'm trying to really master, the quality of life, you know. Quality of our talk, or you sit, or you speak. Every choice you make, you got to be a quality of our manifest within the present, so you could always stay present. And it's a self-awareness, you know.
Mm.
But personality, I think it's a conditioning. Because it's like when you go to school, you have this personality, then you leave school, you go into the work field, or you retire, and then I think it's a social construct conditioning.
Yeah. Do you have any brothers?
No brothers, only one sister.
You have one sister. Is she very different than you are?
Very much so.
Yeah. So even though you grew up in the same family, in the same household, she turned out to be very different. What is one word you would use to describe your sister?
She more conditioning. That's how I say. She more denatured than me.
I'm sorry, I don't get that. What is that?
She more denatured.
Denatured?
Like conditioning. You know, it should be in your natural essence, your nature, yourself.
Oh, so she's very comfortable with herself.
Yeah, she more like conditioning within the denatured structure of the social construct.
Okay.
Yes.
So, what about generous? Is your sister generous?
She's generous in whatever pops up at the time within her ideology. I don't think that's generous. I think that's her whole personality, whatever ideology is showing her. I think generosity is more like a open thing, you know, it's just be yourself. That's more generosity.
Mm.
You know, be present, self-awareness. That's more generosity more than I'm this, I'm that, and you change over the situation that you face, you know?
I suspect, Sean, that you're a hard-working guy. Are you a hard worker?
Well, I'm a self-developer with on just being myself and listening to you guys over the years, and that's how listening to me is more than everything, you know, so I listen.
Right.
And then it's very hard-working because you got to try to be disciplined, and it's a very hard work. So that's what I think, and it pay off.
Sean, I want you to listen to the rest of the show. I want to see if you can identify some of your qualities as we go through the show. And call us back at the end of the second hour. All right, and see if you have any of these traits that we're going to be talking about. Right now we're talking about openness, but thanks for the call.
All right, sir.
Thank you so much. 212-757-5555. One word. You see, he's a hard worker, and it's hard when you're, you know, locked into your personality to know how you're perceived by others. And this is really how they came up with this five-factor model. What is it people are saying about you? Not what you're saying about yourself. That self-report is one aspect of it, but what are other people saying about you? Are you open? Do people, like, feel comfortable around you? Do they feel like you're imaginative? When was the last time you went to a museum? Do you long to go to museums or, you know, art movies or something? This would be on the openness scale, Ben. People who are longing for the arts, who have a real dedication and interest in the arts, you can lose touch with that, with all your responsibilities, but somewhere in you is still this connection to art. I want to get back to a museum.
So,
should we take the next one?
Well, let's first just outline the next of the five factors.
Okay, so the next one was C, as an ocean, where we've done the O, now we'll do the C, which is conscientiousness. Right? Are you conscientious? This is what hardworking, this is what I had a sense of from Sean, that he was conscientious, that he's a hardworking person who's thorough, who, you know, can do a task, stick to a task. He's on a home improvement bent, right? He's constantly trying to find out, who am I? Who am I supposed to be? How am I? Am I in touch with nature? Am I in touch with my essence, my true self? This is a kind of conscientiousness of somebody who needs to find the answer, right? What else could we use to describe?
Diligent.
Diligent is a word. Diligent for sure. Let's see, you're goal-oriented. Conscientious people stick to the task. They can be focused. They're not willing to be distracted.
They're disciplined.
They're very, very disciplined. Discipline is probably the best word to describe conscientiousness. It's a way, Ben, to control your impulses, right? You have a way of, I am not going to be deterred from my objective, and I'm going to be focused. So disciplined is a great descriptor of it. Goal oriented. Imagine it's a great way to get through college, right? I mean, delayed gratification. You need to stick to one study and stay with it. I mean, anybody who graduates college has to be some level of discipline. There has to be some level of discipline. Do you agree or not? I'm curious.
Yes and no.
Because I went to college back in the 80s, and we just didn't have the access to the internet and things that made discipline a little less needed.
I mean, lots of people graduate college in 6 or 7 years for a 4-year degree.
Still?
So,
still?
Yeah, there's a famous famous quote from an old Chris Farley movie where he says, you know, lots of people take 7 years to graduate college. And his friend says, yeah, they're called doctors.
Right. Right. So we'll give some latitude for that. But really, discipline goes with conscientiousness. So we have openness and conscientiousness. And the difference between that, Ben, conscientiousness, the other end of the spectrum, is a kind of easygoingness. It's not necessarily a negative trait. There's an easygoingness, a kind of procrastination that can come into the other end of this spectrum, the not finishing projects or whatever, but just being laid back. So as you were talking about substance abuse, conscientious people are the least likely to get caught up in substance abuse. So as a therapist, you know, I'll take an assessment of somebody who's currently, let's say, having a moment where they're drinking or they're taking drugs, and I'll assess how conscientious is this person, because the family could be very upset and very worried, but when I assess them, I'll assess how conscientious, what is this person's history with conscientiousness, and then that will tell me, do I need to worry about this person or not? We do have Peter on the line. An old friend.
Here I am, an old friend. Peter, you can hear me okay?
Yeah, we hear you, and we have 2 minutes. So
yeah, well, it's nice that you touched on the drug thing, because I thought that kind of goes with the O. The person who's open to new experiences is not going to be deterred by fear. He's going to, you know, he's going to try parachuting. He's going to try escargot. I want to know. I'm curious.
Inevitably,
it's like, you're not going to scare me away. Let me try. Let me sniff that. I'm curious.
Drug experimentation is a big part of that. What would people say about you, Peter? I mean, I know you by your calls, but what's one word people are using to describe you?
What I liked was curious.
Curious.
That goes with openness.
Yes, it does.
I thought about that as like a party game. It's like if you could go to a party and have your name tag, one word on it, what would you put on to attract people you would want to sit next to?
Right.
And I said my name tag would say curious.
I totally get it. And
so who would sit next to me? Someone who's attracted to curious. It's like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. What's your name tag? Are you know what I mean? Are you Doc? Are you sneezy?
The way you're framing it, we should have started the show that way, Ben. Like, if you were to go to a party, what word descriptor would you put on your chest?
Right, the one word descriptor. And I like curious because I want to, if I could talk to someone and say, I have a curious mind. Curious meaning inquisitive or weird.
I would say
you're up to you.
So, Peter, we are posting the five-factor model test on our website, thepositivemindcenter.com. You can check it after the show. It's not up yet. But see, I'm going to predict that you're very, very high in the openness factor.
Openness. Yeah, danger.
All right. So, we're going to go to our musical break, Peter. Thanks for giving us a call.
Thank you.
Enjoy the waves. 212-757-5555.
Aretha Franklin, Think, here on The Positive Mind, 99.5 FM WBAI. I believe she passed just after our last show, so we haven't had a chance to just give our thoughts and wishes and condolences to her family.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, she never got any of the royalties from the Respect, you know, her number one hit.
Really?
You know who got all the royalties?
Oh, it was an Otis Redding song.
Otis Redding.
Yeah.
Otis Redding got them all, so. She'll be missed. Anyway, Aretha Franklin.
We're talking about personality today as we discuss a model of personality typing that we haven't in the past on this program, the five-factor model or the Big Five personality type, also known as the ocean.
Just getting a text, Ben, from somebody at the ocean who's telling us that they listen to our show and we're amplifying their experience there at the ocean.
Beautiful.
So for those of you out on Long Island on the ocean, please enjoy.
212-757-5555 is the number to call.
And we have an old caller on the line. We have Janine on the line, who is usually at the beach when she calls us. How are you today?
Not at the beach today.
You're not?
Okay. No, not today. I'll be there tomorrow on Friday. Hey, guys, listen.
One word, Janine. Aretha. One word.
Thanks for playing Aretha, my Aries sister.
You're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome.
I sing that to Anthony all the time. Okay, one word. I went out and asked all my people that I love if they can describe me. The first one that came in was my little daughter, my youngest daughter.
Wow.
She said exuberant. Wow, I can't even spell it.
Exuberant?
Yeah, that's what she said. My
How old is
daughter.
She? How old is she?
She's 26.
Oh, okay. That's a 26-year-old word. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
then
fine.
My niece just came in because I'm waiting for people to come in. She said vivacious.
Definitely vivacious.
But do you want to hear what my husband said?
Yeah, absolutely. He knows you differently than everybody.
You know what he said?
What?
Aggressive. I'm assertive.
Uh-huh.
I'm assertive. But he calls it aggressive. We know about that.
That's right. So yeah. That relates to another one of these traits that we're going to talk about, aggressiveness. Because
With him, I am aggressive. Yes. Well, because if you can't get... Yeah.
Take it away from him.
Okay.
Be open-minded. Is there a possibility that you have, let's say, aggression while you're driving?
Towards him. Excuse me?
While you're driving. Do you have any aggression?
No. When I drive, I'm 57 years old. I never had an accident. I do get upset when people don't obey the rules and do stupid things. I let them know.
How do you let them know?
I'll say it. I'll just say it out my window. That, you know, I'll say whatever I feel. Yeah, I do.
You have no problem letting people know how you feel.
Oh, I have no problem letting them know that, hey, you know what, the other day on
So
the
aggression beach, is aggression yeah. is not necessarily a bad thing. You know,
no,
I mean,
it's not.
Or
you have to
assertive.
Speak up for yourself.
Assertive is not a bad thing.
Exactly. A person who's unaggressive might not stand up for themselves.
As a woman, you have to stand. I have two wonderful. You have to stand up for yourself. I came from a family of three boys. Listen, the other thing I want to say. Okay, at the beach, for instance, I go there early. I set up my setup. I'm like camping out till 7 at night. Okay.
Wow. Now, so you can stay by yourself. You must be introverted.
Oh. I'm not, but I my music and I'm singing, but I meet people every day at the beach.
Interesting.
New people every day, every day. The thing is this.
You have no problem approaching people and saying hello.
I don't approach them. You know, we just seem to connect. I connect with people every day. I meet new people every day.
And you don't hold back, Janine. Do they take your phone number? Do they stay in touch with you?
Well, it depends. Like two singers, one singer, I gave him my number because we might be working on something. He works at it's a long story. But anyway, I had said I'd like to volunteer to sing at for the old age home. He said he's doing it as a business. So, yeah, we he's married.
Right.
So there's nothing going on there.
Sure.
Yeah, so he's going to get me involved at the Seagate Rehabilitation to go and give my services as a singer, because I sing, you know that,
and
right?
I know you sing, of course.
But you know how that happened? I go to the bathroom, and I put my music box in my bag as I'm walking to the bathroom on the beach, right? And I pass this nursing home, the poorer one, and one of the old men, he goes, oh, the music lady, God bless you, he throws me kisses. So
beautiful.
I said to Anthony, I should volunteer and do this. And then I go and meet this other person like 2 weeks later. Is that funny?
That is hysterical, Janine.
Yeah, I might be doing that this fall and winter.
You're open and you are extroverted. And there's another there's another one I want
but
you to listen for.
I can be by myself.
And
you see, Aries, my birthday said I can very happily be by myself, but that would be a shame because I'm a great mother, great parent. I read it in my
I have no doubt about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep calling. Thanks for calling us.
Love you guys.
Love you too.
Thank you, Janine.
You're well.
212-757-5555 is the number to call. We have a few people on hold. We are asking for your calls about your personality. If there's one word that you or others in your life would describe yourself with.
Yeah, but better to have other people. It was funny that Janine went into her living room and asked everybody one word. But, yes, what other people are saying? One trait, one habit, one...
212-757-5555.
Behavior.
We're talking about the five...
Factor model
of personality typing. This is actually, believe it or not, considered the most scientific of the personality tests.
Yes.
And I think maybe because of that, due to that, it really hasn't caught on in mainstream pop culture.
What do you mean?
The way other personality typing tests have. Well, I mean, the way, say, astrology has, or even the Myers-Briggs, which is extremely well-known around, you know, even in corporate America,
right.
Myers-Briggs, they love giving that test to their employees.
Of course.
But this is actually...
Because it works.
Well, this is... The Big Five is actually more scientific
than
Myers-Briggs.
It is. And again, right? If you wanted to take a short sample of the test, you could go on thepositivemindcenter.com. We'll have the test up there by the end of the show. But we talked about openness and conscientiousness. And again, openness is kind of like an attraction to the arts, to creativity, to intellect, to curiosity, to newness, to challenges. You know, you don't shy from a challenge. You're looking out for challenges, actually. This is open. This is what openness is. And then there's conscientiousness, which is hardworking and then thorough and diligent and dedicated and disciplined. This is conscientiousness. So we're going to move on to the next one after this caller. We have Lorraine on the line. Hello, Lorraine.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I'm terrific. Thank you. I love your show.
Thank you. Do you know about the five-factor model?
I'm listening today, and I'm learning.
Okay, good.
No, I've never known about it before.
So one word that describes you. How do people describe you?
Extremely kind.
Kind. You're not shy. Tell us about it. How are you kind? Who thinks you're kind?
Well, almost all of my friends, I don't think that I am, and they're always saying, you don't realize how much, you know, how helpful you are for so many people. And I'm like, really? I don't get it, but it's just the way it is, you know?
Mm. Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have three sisters. I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest, so you had to take care of them.
Oh my God! It was like it was mandatory that I was responsible for the other three.
It really was?
Oh yeah.
Was it an unspoken requirement, or did they actually officially come down and say you have to take care of when we're not around? You have to be the mommy.
Oh, that was official.
Really?
You know? Yeah, you have to take care of them.
Hmm.
And if anything happens to them that shouldn't, it would be your responsibility.
Oh, gosh. they actually said that whole thing to you?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, back in my day, because I'm old.
You don't sound old. You sound mid-30s.
No.
I'm being kind. I'm just being...
Thank you.
But no, you do. You sound very youthful. You sound young.
I'm very youthful. I'm useful, I'm happy, I'm active. Mm. But, you know, when I grew up, other families had the same kind of thing. It wasn't like I was different than anybody else in my community. Like, the oldest sibling had to do that. You know, working class family.
Mm.
Everybody chipped in.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it, yeah.
You make a good point, because kindness as a model, if you're modeling kindness... You know, you're not using words. You're using behavior. You're showing people that this is how things get done efficiently. If you're kind to people, things will get done. If you're not kind, you're going to create a lot of havoc and a lot of chaos. So
I must say I learned that in my older years, but my sisters actually called me Helga. So I wasn't kind, I think, back then.
So what do you associate with Helga?
Boss.
There you go.
You're the boss.
That's the other trait of the oldest in the family, right? They get to be the boss.
Yeah.
I'm mom and dad's enforcer.
Right.
So
yeah, they gave me the job. I don't really want it, but I got to do it.
Got it. Listen, thanks for giving us a call, Lorraine. We're going to talk about this quality that you mentioned, kindness, because it is one of the five factors.
Oh, okay, good. I'm listening.
Okay.
Thank you so much, guys.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
Thank you for calling us.
Enjoy the waves.
212-757-5555. That's the number to call. We're talking about personality typing today. Kevin, this was actually this five-type personality test, this five-factor model, was developed by psychologists at Penn State University. So for those of you out there who are interested in actually taking the test, it's free. You can Google Penn State personality test.
Oh, really?
And it's the first thing that'll come up. There's two versions you can take. There's a quicker version that may not be as accurate.
Right.
And then there's a longer version.
There's a 3,300 question version. Yeah.
So we may not all have time to sit and answer 3,300 questions.
Right.
But the short version is 120 questions.
Yeah.
And they ask you questions, and then you have to agree or disagree on a 1 to 5 scale.
Right.
And based on those 120, it'll give you a general overview of your personality.
Yeah. And what's the use of this, Ben? What's the good in knowing this stuff? I think just what we were talking about, substance abuse, that if you are high in openness, you have a very open personality, that – you know, you have certain dangers. There are certain things that are dangerous for you in terms of mental health possibilities. And experimenting with drugs is one of them. And risk-taking behavior is another. So it's useful to know, how high do I rate on the openness factor? If you're very, very high on the openness factor, you would want to stay away from drugs. You'd want to stay away from artificial substances. So it's useful to learn all of these things. And with the next one that we're going to talk about, let's talk about the next one. Extroversion, the E, O-C-E, right? Openness, conscientiousness, extroversion.
And Ben, it's actually interesting that Lorraine called to say that she's kind, because it kind of falls in with the next one.
It does with the next one. So we're right. O-C-E, she's the A, but you're right, she's the O-C. Right, so we'll get to that one after our next caller. But let's talk a little bit about extroversion. Extroversion is, again, like what I think is Janine, our caller, who said she meets strangers all the time. You know, just think of the opposite, an introvert. An introvert is not somebody who has an easy time meeting new people. There's nothing wrong with that, right? It's just introverts need time to recover. They don't use their energy going out. They use their
energy focused inwardly.
Going inward.
Yeah.
Right? And that's how they enjoy life. They have a sense of themselves, and that they get their energy that way than getting energy from other people. Extroverts have a problem in life, Ben. And that is they need people more than introverts do. So they're always looking out to the environment to get some stimulation, to get energy. Without other people around, they don't have their energy. So this is one of the five factors, extroversion. And then in the middle ground is something called ambiversion.
Where you could go either way.
Where you can be either way. You can be comfortable going out with people, but you do need time to go off by yourself and relaxed.
And again, this is not a scale of good, bad, right?
It is not.
We really strive to present things... Yeah. As neutrally and objectively as we can, and to say that it's necessarily better or worse to be extroverted or introverted. Mm. I mean, I think, you know, there's a popular conception that extroverts, it's better to be an extrovert, right? That introverts are somehow shy or lonely.
Right. It's
and
not.
It's, you know, there are a lot of extremely successful introverts, a lot of very creative types, a lot of writers and artists
indeed
happen to be introverts.
Absolutely.
You know, and they go within towards that creativity.
Yeah.
They tap into that. So it's not a matter of good or bad, better or worse.
I wonder if musicians tend to be extroverted. But it takes a tremendous amount of discipline
right
to be a musician.
Some of the best musicians I've known personally were people who spent much of their childhoods sitting in their bedroom with a guitar or a violin or a keyboard and just hammering out scales.
And that could lean to a preference for introversion, don't you think? Because you're not out seeking energy from other people. You're not
right.
talkative. You're not engaging. It's not, you know, you're not looking outward. You found something you can do by yourself. So I don't know. I think lead singers in rock bands tend to be the extroverts.
But the guitarist or the bassist,
the guys who had to discipline themselves,
right.
maybe didn't. They tended towards introversion. But extroversion is something like you're energized. Like, I would say that about you, Ben, that I would say you're an extrovert.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you are have a liveliness, that you have an assertiveness, that you're enthusiastic, that you're outgoing, that you're talkative, that you engage strangers, that you're comfortable with yourself. See, I think people look at introverts and often think they're just not that comfortable with themselves, right?
Yeah, shyness and introvertedness are not the
same
thing.
They're not the same. They're absolutely not.
That's an important distinction to draw.
Yeah, but the introverts can often look shy because they're not looking to necessarily connect with you. You have to go first with an introvert,
mm-hmm.
whereas an extrovert, you're the one who's going first.
And here's the thing, is that if you can get into a one-on-one scenario with an introvert and you can connect with them around something that they're passionate about or that they're interested in, right, you'll see them light up.
Oh, and talk.
Yeah.
That's what that
forever.
If you want an introvert to talk, learn what they're interested
you
in.
You kind of have to meet them on
you
their
do.
Ground.
Yeah, and they're not going to tell you. You know, you have to really ask them, and they love to be asked questions. Introverts want to come out. They do want to be engaged. They want to feel at ease with people.
So I know a man, I'll give you an example. I know a man who is an encyclopedia of music, right? Especially jazz.
Okay.
Right? This man knows all there is to know about jazz from the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, even all the way up to today. And you could ask him a question. He really is like an encyclopedia. He can tell you, you know, who was on this record playing bass with this person, but they had collaborated with,
oh, really?
You know,
Phil
Thelonious
Shapp.
Monk, like that
like
guy.
Phil Shapp.
Yeah, like yeah. Phil Shapp, okay. Not unlike Phil Shapp.
I see.
And yet this guy is a total introvert. And he, you know, he would much rather sit at home and play records. Okay. Obviously, he's got a nice record collection. He's got a sound system he loves.
Sure.
He'd love to sit at home and do that rather than go out to a party or an event or a social situation.
I get it. Yeah.
And yet, in those events, if someone were to pull him aside and begin a conversation that had to do with music, I mean, forget it. Then, they would be best friends for the rest of the night
right.
and maybe beyond. So
right.
It's just interesting how introverts work compared to extroverts.
Yeah. And that's what they say. Introverts have depth. You know, extroverts are not so interested in depth, but introverts are, you know, the water runs deep for an introvert. So if they have an interest and a passion, they take it to the max. So we're taking your calls, 212-757-5555. Just to finish up with extroversion, Ben, before we take the next caller. I am the life of the party. Does this sound like you? I don't mind being the center of attention. I feel comfortable around people. I start conversations. I don't talk a lot. Now, there's a reverse. I don't talk a lot. So it means I do talk a lot. I talk to a lot of different people at parties. That's an extrovert. I hope we're getting this to you. OCE. Ben, let's take Colleen and then let's play some waves. Hello, Colleen.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. What's the one word that people use to describe Colleen?
Resourceful.
Say it again.
Resourceful.
Resourceful.
Tell us about that. Are you on a regular phone, Colleen?
I'm on a cell phone.
Okay,
yeah,
we're hearing an echo. So
okay, hold on a second.
All right. Are you on speaker? Can you take us off speaker?
Sure.
Great. That'll do it.
Okay. That'll help.
Okay. Resourceful. So tell us about you and being resourceful.
I've had a lot of, you know, just like different things happen in my life, setbacks, downfalls, and I've always kind of found a way to just figure it out. I just find a way to figure it out.
Exactly. You're creative.
Yeah.
You're creative. So you would score high on the openness factor. Do you like the arts?
Yes.
Do you like the arts?
I love the arts.
Tell me, what do you like? Which ones?
I'm a singer. I love opera.
Really? How old are you?
I'm 30.
And you love opera?
Loved it my whole life.
Is
grew
that
up,
right?
I grew up running around the living room singing along to Judy Garland and Renee Fleming. And.
Yeah. So you've kept that interest going?
Somewhat.
What arts are you into nowadays?
Right now, I'm singing. I paint, but when I paint, that's just for me. I don't really share. I'll share that with friends, but I don't really share that publicly.
Okay. So you're not shy. You're open to letting people see things that you're doing, that you're working on, that you're experimenting with.
Yes, I make friends at the grocery store.
So you have.
I really do.
You have extroversion too. I think, Ben, by the way, in my research, openness and extroversion are correlated. That if you're high in one, you tend to have a good amount of the other.
Makes sense.
So you can make conversation with strangers with no problem.
Yeah, most of the time.
All right. And what do you do for a living?
I'm actually a social worker.
Oh, so you're very creative.
I have to be.
Tell us.
Got no choice.
Right, really. Can you tell us anything about how you use your resourcefulness in your work? Because certain people do need help and need resources out in the community, right?
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about one of those.
My work is community based. I'm in the family's home and I'm out in the community, and part of my job is to help them get linked up with the community. So it's looking at what are their needs? What are their strengths? What can we do to get them back out there in the community? And we have a lot of youth who are very creative.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do art projects, or we'll take them to an art class, or we'll sign them up to work with to take a yoga class or something like that.
Mm. So you have in mind a whole column of things that are possibilities depending on which situation you're in to offer people.
Absolutely.
That's a kind of resourcefulness. So you must have heard of the five-factor model since you're a social worker. Have you?
You know, surprisingly, I have not.
Okay. It won't hold it against you. But it makes sense, right? Openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, introversion, closed off, closed to experience. Like, right. Do you know people that are closed off? I mean, with some clients, you must have, like, people that are... you can't get through to it all.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, so they're probably very low on the openness scale.
Yeah, I worked with one youth. Everything I suggested, she was like, no. I was like, well, how about we try this? No. How about this? No. No.
Yeah, you're showing people our world. It is part of being a social worker and a mental health counselor. You have to always be prepared for no. No. That's not it. I'm not doing that. They don't deserve it.
Right.
I don't want to.
Right.
Et cetera. And we have to be creative and say, okay, how about meeting us a little bit halfway? A little bit halfway.
Right.
So great. We were lucky we got you. What's your favorite piece of opera music? We want to put it on our list to play. And Ben is like, opera. He's looking it up right now. What's a favorite opera piece?
A particular piece?
Yeah.
I love Madame Butterfly.
Madame Butterfly.
Perfect.
Ben, you're on the line for this.
Well, we're about to take a short musical break right now. But
thanks,
Colleen. Thanks so much for giving us a call today.
Oh, you're welcome. No problem.
All right. Take care. 212-757-5555 is the number to call. You are tuned in to The Positive Mind, giving you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And we're talking about personality today and the five-factor model of personality typing.
Two to go.
Right? Five-factor model, also known as the Big Five personality test, the Penn State personality test.
Yeah.
If you want to take it, you can go ahead and Google Penn State personality test. It's free. And you can learn a little bit about your own personality. 212-757-5555. We'd love to hear from you. If you have one word that you or people that you know use to describe yourself. We'll be back shortly after this.
What do you see? The sun is rising, most definitely. A new day is coming. Ooh, people are changing.
forced of new persuasion. Better get ready. Gonna see the light. Love, love is the answer. Ooh, and that's all right. So don't you give up now. Ooh, so easy to find. Just look to your soul.
Look to your soul.
And open your mind.
Tommy James and the Shondells, Crystal Blue Persuasion. Makes you think of a pool.
Yeah.
A nice chlorinated swim pool. Great summer tune. 212-757-5555. We're talking about the five-factor model of personality traits, and we've come up with the OCE so far. It's an easy mnemonic, OCEAN. We're going to talk about agreeableness, which one of our callers, I believe it was Lorraine, who said that she's viewed as kind.
Yeah, it was Lorraine.
It was Lorraine. So, Lorraine, the trait is called agreeableness. Now, from a firstborn child, that's a tough one. That's an unusual combination. Because
agreeableness also kind of means go along to get along, doesn't it?
Right. But it is sacrificing your needs for other people. And it's actually a thoughtfulness. There's really a tenderness to people who are agreeable or who fit this category. So kindness is definitely one of the traits. But being a firstborn and being agreeable, like going along and surrendering your needs to them, is not your typical characteristic. So anyway, here are some of the traits of an agreeable person. You trust. Do you trust other people? I mean, just that would cover a whole category of people. I mean, there are either people who trust and don't trust.
And there are certainly, I mean, as many advantages as disadvantages to that, aren't there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But if you're a trusting person, it's probably more easy for you to find intimacy with others, right? Probably you feel better about the world in general.
Yes, you do.
Right, less paranoid.
And so agreeableness, you could imagine, rates high on the happiness scale.
Sure.
That and what was...
That being said, though, you know, it seems that you might also be more vulnerable to being taken advantage of.
Exactly.
Or swindled or, you know.
And so often these people are very angry, to believe it or not, because there's a hidden anger that I'm I've surrendered my will, my wants, my desires to people, to my family, to everybody else, and it feels good when I'm doing it, but somehow when is it going to be my turn? So there's a hidden anger to agreeableness. Do you avoid to be the center of attention? Agreeable people do not want to be center stage. And you sympathize with people who are in worse circumstances than your own. These are signs of agreeableness. How willing are you to go along and try to keep the peace? Ben, in the Enneagram, we'd call these people the peacemaker, the nine in the Enneagram. They're willing to surrender their own needs for the sake of other people. They want to keep peace. So agreeable people are often people who will go along just for the sake of not creating waves. It's the opposite of extroversion almost, right? Extroverts want to assert themselves. They want to aggress. They want to connect. They want to explore, and they are excitable. They are talkative. Agreeable people are just like, let's go beneath the surface. Let's lower the volume down. Let's all get along. Let's find a common goal and just stick with that. So OCEA, we now have four of the five. We have a caller on the line.
Jonathan's on the line. Hi, Jonathan.
Yes, my friend. How you doing? This is Jonathan from the Bronx.
Good.
Hey, Jonathan from the Bronx. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I didn't forget your invitation to come and sit in on your set. I'm going to offer to do that as soon as possible.
You're always welcome. You're always welcome.
Many thanks. So you were asking about one word that would best define people's experience of me, correct?
Yes. Ben, do you want to take a stab? Jonathan, don't say anything. Well, let us try and take a stab at who Jonathan is. What's one word you would use?
Jonathan, to me, sounds like a person who's principled.
I was going to say conscientious.
Yeah.
Wow.
Does that work with you, Jonathan?
It not only works, both work, but it's very interesting because the young lady who I spoke to prior to being allowed to come on asked me what word I would use, and I said consciousness.
Is that right?
As in, you know.
Yeah, you're very conscious.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I remember our show when we did on suicide, and you called in, mm-hmm. and you talked about your experience as a counselor in schools.
Right.
And you were talking about the five recommendations that you would send to people who are dealing with somebody who is thinking about committing suicide. And the major one you said that really floored me was just be with them.
Absolutely. You know, we have such psycho-emotional discord that is reigning and wreaking havoc throughout the world. It's transcending race. It's transcending gender. It's transcending class. We have a lack of harmony throughout humankind today in ways that are much more profound than ever before, as far as I am concerned. Mm. And so, therefore, in order to be of help to anyone, in order to have an attitude of servitude, regardless of the path you choose to travel, individual, the helping agent, has to have a willingness and a capacity to meet people where they're at. That means that if they're sad, if they're depressed, if they're angry, if they're suicidal, you have to be able to be with them in that space in order to help shed some light, in order to change their predicament.
I love it. No mystery as to why we want you to come down here and be in our studio, take some calls with us one day, Jonathan. We would love to have you. Let me one question, though, before you go. How do you recharge?
Wow. I recharge by seeking quiet and solace and paying serious attention to my breathing. Mm. I make it a point to pour myself into my pen. I write. I'm a writer as well. Mm. But in regards to recharging, quietness, solitude, and deep breathing are at the top of my list.
I got it. And so there's some, like, introverted qualities there that in order to get your energy back, you need to spend time with Jonathan, spend time off.
Absolutely.
I got it. And plus, part of our profession, you know, when we are just being with people, we need to spend time to just be with ourselves and recollect.
And that's so true, because certain professions, social work included, you know, you don't stop being a social worker because you're off the clock.
That's right.
You don't stop being a doctor. You don't stop being a mental health professional because you're off the clock.
Exactly.
Just like, you know, cops don't stop being cops because they punch out. So certain professions require your attention 24/7. And so the key, the art and the science becomes making time for yourself without feeling guilty about it.
Exactly.
Just avoiding self-negligence.
Absolutely. Thanks for the lesson here again, Jonathan. This is fantastic. You know where we are. We're waiting for you to come on down.
Yes.
All right, next time.
I give you my word, I will be in touch.
I'm sure you will. All right, buddy. All right, we'll be seeing you. Have a good day.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Go ahead. 212-757-5555. What a great man, you know, great heart. So I wanted to ask him about openness, but conscientiousness has a lot to do with life satisfaction. The people high in conscientiousness have been a high life satisfaction quality. They're looking just for satisfaction in life. They're not necessarily looking to have it all. They're committed to their tasks. They're committed to their work. They're happy and satisfied with following through. When they reach goals, that is more important than anything that can come to them. So conscientiousness sounds like something Jonathan gets a lot out of. So we would love to meet him in person. We have Solomon on the line. Hello, Solomon.
Yeah, I'm here, yeah.
How are you today?
I'm doing okay.
What is one word other people, not you, but other people use to describe?
No. I'm sorry. I'm calling about the show that you have had about tattooing, and
okay.
I didn't get through.
Go ahead. What did you want
to mention? I'd just like to make a brief comment.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, the Bible specifically says in Leviticus 19:28, do not cut your bodies for the dead or do not mark your skin with tattoos. I am the Lord. So I just wanted to let you know.
Thank
that,
you. Did he use the word tattoos?
Yeah, T-A-T-T-O-O-S, yeah.
We did mention,
Bible,
yeah.
You could look it up for yourself.
Well,
we did mention it,
Solomon.
19:28.
Yeah, we mentioned it last week, Solomon. We mentioned that that was a mention in the Bible, but you know, we do appreciate your call. Would you give us an idea of one word that people use to describe you?
Oh, marvelous!
Marvelous! What are you, Marvin Hagler?
Maybe.
No. Okay. Well,
but you know something. I'm a people's person. I like people.
You're an extrovert. You're an extrovert.
Yeah.
You have no trouble.
I'm really a nice guy, and I like people. I like to treat people nice because you're supposed to treat people that the way you want to be treated.
Mm.
You know.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm a people's person. I like people, but you know, some people's hard to like. They're hard.
That's a good point.
Have to try your best
right.
to like people.
But you don't let them get to you too much. You might have a high agreeableness quality too, Solomon.
Yeah.
You're willing not to create waves. You're willing to go along with people.
Yeah.
Is that kind of true?
But it's in my nature.
I understand.
To be a people's person, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I get it. Look, thanks for giving us a call.
Yeah, this is my first time, too. First time.
Please call us again.
All right.
Be well. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Solomon. 212-757-5555. We're talking about personality typing, this big five personality model, the five-factor model. We're talking about what those traits are. So far, just to recap, we've talked about the first four, openness.
Yep.
Conscientiousness,
mm-hmm.
extroversion, and agreeableness. And if we were to look at them in terms of what they are not, if you're low in openness, you would be closed.
Closed to experience. Closed to novelty.
If you're low in conscientiousness, you are laid back, relaxed, maybe even lazy. But it doesn't have to be in a sort of, right, there doesn't have to be a judgment around the term. As far as extroversion, if you're low in extroversion, you're simply an introvert, right? You may be an ambivert, which is shades of both.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're low in agreeableness, would that be stubborn, Kevin? That would be
stubbornness. It would be stubbornness, but also oppositionalness.
Sure.
You know, agreeable is like, yeah, you're easily approached, you consider other people.
Right.
You're willing to sacrifice your interests for them. And as opposed to being oppositional, whereas I do not want to be influenced by other people. I want to always be doing my own thing.
Or to put it in a less judgmental term, in a more of a neutral term, if you're low in agreeableness, you'd be more self-motivated, more self-interested,
mm-hmm.
more...
Mm-hmm. Self-directed.
Self-directed.
Yep.
Right? More of a visionary, less willing to...
Very good.
Right?
Yeah, I think it has all those qualities to it. So again, it's not a negative pole. It's not meant to be that way. It's not either you're an extrovert and then it's terrible to be an introvert. No. It's good to, you know, we have shades of both of them. Sometimes we're just more of one than the other. So in agreeableness, self-directed and self-focused, there's nothing wrong with it. That's actually important qualities to achieve happiness in life.
So those are right there are four of the first five of the five-factor model of personality. And we're just going over this because we think it's a very useful way of looking at personality.
I wonder if we could ask people what they think the N is.
Yeah,
can we get any calls like that?
You know, I'm sure at this point that some of
we haven't given it away, have
peaked and have cheated, and you know, it's okay if you Googled it. We don't mind. It's fine. But we're going to get to the fifth one. But if you're interested in taking this test, it's free. It's available to everyone. There's a short version, which is 120 questions. The long version is a few thousand questions. So maybe if you have a Sunday afternoon free, you might want to check that out. But you can Google Penn State personality test.
Yeah.
This is developed by psychologists at Penn State University. Mm. So if you Google Penn State personality test, you can get a link to a free test where you can actually do this and you can get an idea of where you fall on the five-factor model.
Mm.
It's fascinating stuff, Kevin.
I think it's great and it's very useful. It is great. It's good to type other people. You know, we use all of these words to describe conscientiousness. Who knew that conscientiousness was goal-directed behavior? But that is, or task-oriented, or hardworking, or organized, or not messy. You know, if you're tidy, you know, and clean, you probably have a dose of conscientiousness to you. So rather than be confused by all sorts of words to type people, you know, Penn State did come up with this typology. I think it was McCray and Morris. I'm trying to think of the other word, the name of the person that I think it was 1978 they first came up with this. So, but conscientiousness covers a lot of ground. Persistence, that you lean towards diligence and academic success. Here's one thing with conscientiousness: you don't miss work. You know, I mean, how is this useful? You want to interview people who are not going to miss work. So you want a conscientious person. It could be an interesting question when you interview somebody. How conscientious are you? What do people say about you? What would people use to describe you? If somebody uses the word conscientious to describe you, that's a great thing to say in an interview. So all of these qualities, Ben, are very, very useful, very good. You know, I got bartender, you want to be an extrovert. You don't want an introverted bartender.
Absolutely.
Right? So, and an agreeable bartender, you know. So anyway, there are different ways to use this. But again, it's a way everybody can use it to really keep the space between you and other people, to really not be reactive to other people. And am I leading into this next quality, Ben? Should we give it out? We did want to hear 212-757-5555. What do you think the N signifies in this, where it's ocean? Should we hear a little waves?
Ocean.
Let's hear a little bit of the waves. O-C-E-A-N. Okay. Here we go.
So what is the N, Kevin? What does the N stand for?
I want to hear from someone. Let's see if somebody calls with the answer. 212-757-5555. There's a call. Let's see if they know.
We have Lee on the line. Hello, Lee.
Hello.
Hi, thanks for calling us.
Yeah, hi. I also, well, I'm very agreeable. I do know that. I'm very gullible. I get taken advantage of, and I've turned like the opposite now. I really don't trust anything.
What a shame. Do you miss it? Do you feel like?
Yeah. Well, I still do. I still do it. I mean, it's me.
Yes, but you've learned that Lee has to find out, has to look out, not to be.
I've found out
because it's a great, great quality.
Yeah. Agreeableness. I got my computer hacked. I can't. All kinds of things that I can't believe people. I got stuff stolen from me. You know.
Right. Of course. Any of the other qualities, Lee? Let me think. Do you like the arts?
Yes.
What arts do you follow?
Well, I sing.
Okay.
I draw.
Right.
I write.
Oh, fantastic! And you have a good laugh.
Yeah. Well.
So you have a kind of openness to you.
Yeah. Somebody told me I was open.
Yes, I can hear it. It sounds like people could feel warm and comfortable around you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so you're high in the agreeable and in the open qualities.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are downsides to all of them, right?
Yeah.
There are downsides. Openness sounds like such a great thing, but there are downsides to it.
Yes, I've got some other qualities that apparently have kept me from falling prey to them, luckily. I've been through the 60s, and I'm all right with that. I'm too screwed up health-wise to want to take advantage of that, even if I could anymore.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you have perspective at this stage of your life.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Wonderful. You're a wise woman.
Oh,
so, you know.
That's how you learn it. You know, you go through it.
Exactly. So don't let anybody take advantage of your warmth and your kindness and your agreeableness.
Well, thank you for saying that. I'm wondering what the N-word is.
Go ahead. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I would say negative or new.
You're close. You're close.
Oh, really?
You're very close.
Yeah. Yeah,
Lee, thanks for calling. We'll wait to see if somebody else. We'll wait to see if somebody comes up with. But
thanks
stay
for
tuned. Okay. You're welcome.
You're great. Welcome. Bye.
Thank you, Lee.
Bye bye.
212-757-5555.
I think it's, NEU. That's a start.
I think we should do the big reveal, the last of the five factors.
Sure.
Ocean. We've talked about openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness. The N is for neuroticism.
Right. And
so what does that look like, Kevin? Someone who's high or low in neuroticism?
You're not calm. when you're neurotic.
If you're high in neuroticism,
you're not a calm person. You're agitated, you're irritable, you're angry, you're sad, you're labile. Your emotions are very fresh and very on the surface. And you have one quality of neuroticism is a startle response, Ben. Like you're very sensitive to sounds and touches and being touched at different points. So it's a quality of you're always on guard, fight or flight. Neuroticism is a quality where a person is, how excitable are you? How irritable are you? How vulnerable are you to a change of mood? How vulnerable are you to stress?
So if you're moody, a moody person
is
high in neuroticism.
Yes. Yeah. And it can lead to panic, right? I mean, neuroticism has a high factor of panic to it when you're under stress. And also that anything can cause stress. This is another quality of neuroticism, that anything could set you off. You know, it's not the career of a pilot, right? You don't want to be a pilot and be highly neurotic. Right? You want a pilot who's very calm.
Conscientious.
Very stable. Yes, you want them to get you to your destination.
Right.
Right? We could have dovetailed this conversation into what are the appropriate jobs.
And I guess when it comes to someone who's working on a job that's so safety intensive, right, like a pilot or anyone who's doing something that requires high, I think I would prefer someone who's high in conscientiousness and probably low in openness. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I could see that. Yeah, you definitely want the conscientiousness over openness in a pilot, because a pilot might say, "Oh, let's go here today instead of here." You're there's clouds up ahead. Let's go to Key West instead. No, but we were supposed to go to Alaska, you know. So, so conscientiousness is a good quality to have, along with openness and everything else. But neuroticism is one that you want to get away from. You know, and this is the one where people being able to keep your space, keep your distance from people, being able to see, oh, that person's high in excitability and irritability. Maybe it'd be best if I didn't create waves, didn't confront them, didn't make things difficult for them. Maybe I could just be compassionate and sit alongside them and be with them. So that's the benefit of knowing what these are all mean, Ben. Neuroticism is a tough one. It's a tough way to go through life. And again, neuroticism is also correlated to a shorter lifespan. So, you know, similarly to what were we saying? Shorter lifespan. Openness can lead to a shorter lifespan, although a happier shorter life. 212-757-5555. Can you locate yourself in these qualities? I wonder. When you look about, like generosity, Ben, where would generosity fit?
Probably, in my guess, is somewhere somewhat of a combination. I would say you'd have to be somewhat open to be generous, right?
Yep.
You have to be also somewhat agreeable.
I agree.
I don't think you need to be extroverted to be generous.
No, absolutely
I don't think
not.
That has anything to do with it. Right. But certainly openness and agreeableness.
Right.
And maybe lower in neuroticism, but I don't know if that's relevant. Either.
It is relevant. It is something that you would pay attention to. And all of these things have a high and a low. So, you know, it's a good point to make. And you go through periods of your life. I mean, there are periods of your life. They finding like the openness quality, Ben. People become more open as they age, believe it or not. Right? You would think as people age that they would become more closed off to experience. But as you age, they're finding openness grows by 0.1 kind of variable on the standard deviation grid. So we have another caller on the line, 212-757-5555, and we have John on the line. John, how are you today?
I'm doing good. Calling because I have a hard time with questions like this.
Yeah.
Because it depends on what role I'm in. For example, I'm a teacher, and part of my job is to visit people in their houses, which is extremely tense for me. But when I get to the house, nobody's around thinks it's difficult to me, because in that role, I tend to be more extroverted, more open to suggestions. If I'm not in that role, sitting in my own house is not a bad thing. Or riding a bike for a long time is not a bad thing.
Right. And how would your girlfriend describe you?
That's a hard
one. Yeah, you see, this is hard. It's kind of hard to figure it out yourself.
Is that the person I'm living with, or could it be somebody else?
Yeah. Well, let's start with the person you're living with. What would they say?
Intense but guarded.
Intense but guarded. Like, are you moody?
I can be sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a tough time with stress?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely.
Yeah. So,
I do not deal with stress very well.
Well, and if you're a teacher, you must be high on conscientiousness, too. You know, because you...
Well, in some ways, I also am very flexible in, you know, for example, what is planned, if it's not going, I
right.
pretty easily can...
Shift gears. Shift gears.
Shift gears and go in a different direction. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm sort of spontaneous. That's actually, I think, a strength in terms of teaching.
Absolutely. And openness is a strength of teaching, too. And it's hard to keep that openness when you're trying to maintain discipline and get through your lessons. But it's a openness is a big strength.
Actually, the openness, I you know, the way I look at openness is how open am I to the students I'm dealing with and where they're coming with, and how can I incorporate that into their life at school.
I would
say, I teach very young children, so.
Yeah. That, I would say, John, is more in the agreeableness category. When you're adapting to help other people and to figure out what's good for them, that's more in the agreeable quality. You're willing to compromise, you know, your personality, your needs, your focus, your interests, for the sake of somebody else. Openness really refers to feelings and intellect, like being curious and being seeking out new experiences and novelty. So I get being open and compassionate is one of those qualities, but that would go more in the agreeableness category. But it sounds like you have a lot going on.
That's the other thing that is, because I think I am agreeable.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I can get that sense.
I make waves, but I also am very protective of my own self.
As a teacher, I remember you have to be.
Yeah.
John, thanks for calling us today. Keep calling us, okay?
All right, thanks.
You bet.
Thanks, John. 212-757-5555 is the number to call. We're talking about personality and a big five personality test, also known as the five-factor model. You are tuned in to The Positive Mind. Again, we'd love to hear from you, 212-757-5555. We'll be back after this.
Getting up, come on, we're getting up, come on, we're getting up, yeah, I'm sweating, we can, where you going, go to, where you at, but you took it, 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 you sent you a message, sent you an email. Hasty decisions, we may still prevail. Both needed breaks, we both needed to bail. Walking through the corridors of my mind, the hideaways and nooks and things were good times. Memories certainly, yes, they still bind. Still a common man, and yeah, that's for sure. Still a bankroll, and yeah, still couture. But man, this thing that we had was much more. Come back home, don't be out in the world. It's a bad place and no place for a girl. Amongst the scavengers, I found a pretty pearl. It's for the faint of heart who never get enough. Gotta get tough, buckle them up. We call them guts and we we got to get enough. We got to get enough. Today is nice, come on. I said we get enough. I said we get enough. I said we get enough. Come on, we get enough. I said we get enough. Today is right, come on. We gon' get enough. I said we get enough. I said we get enough. Come over here, baby. Start a clan just like the Kennedys. You and I again, certainly we can extend. Feelings that should never end. You respect me like a friend, but love me like your man. No other but could contend. And we could be like those exposed to history, like staying with each other with truth and chivalry. The things we go through, they shape identity. Yes, pretty, let's do this all night. Consummate this thing and make it alright. And when we cuddle up, I promise that I might. We need to get enough, come on, get enough. Today is nice, come on. Gravitate towards you. Your magnetic presence make them all come through. The same way you got them, you got me too. Now look at our lives, they're so colorful.
A wonderful spectrum, not one tone dull. Full of excitement and not one lull. See, we had an understanding, oh yes, we did. I'm bringing it back, I'm putting in my bid. Half a couple of kids and half a couple of cribs. We like Ruby Dianasi, Martin and Coretta. Doing it to death, no one could do it better. When we leave our physical, our spirit's still together. So come on now, here's a placement for your hand. You rocking with the number one MC, man. The number one controller, all right through the land.
Q-tip. It's Q-tip here on 99.5 FM. You're listening to The Positive Mind here on WBAI, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue as we continue our discussion on personality today and the Big Five personality test, also known as the five-factor model.
Yep.
If you're interested in what you've been hearing about, the test is free. And you can get it from Penn State University. If you go on, check out Penn State Personality Test. Just Google that. Penn State Personality Test. And there's two versions that you can take, a long and a short one. Be advised, the long one is how many questions?
3,360 questions.
So, I mean, the long one is long.
We have one on our website for 60 questions. So we were even shorter than the short version.
Right, yeah. The short version that Penn State offers is 120 questions.
Right. Right.
I mean, I would say Kevin, is the more you do, the more accurate it is, the more questions you answer.
Yeah, of course. And we have some sample questions here from it.
I mean, I did the short version myself,
right,
and it had me listed as average across every trait, and I know that there are some traits that I'm below average and some where I'm above average.
So make friends easily. Like, which of the characters? So this is a 1 to 5. Very accurate. Moderately accurate, neither accurate nor inaccurate, moderately inaccurate, and very inaccurate. So you make friends easily, Ben. That must have been what? Accurate, right? For you.
Yes, very accurate.
As opposed to trust others.
Less accurate.
Less accurate, right? Yeah. How about you get angry easily?
Less accurate.
Okay. You like to tidy up.
Also less accurate, but I would like to say before the break, I was thinking about how a lot of these have changed and how just like we evolve as individuals,
mm-hmm,
right? We're never fixed as who we are, right?
Right.
We're always sort of changing.
Mm.
I mean, we may be born with certain innate tendencies and qualities, but there's also things that change. I mean, as a kid, I was a slob, you know?
Right.
And now clutter and messes drive me crazy. So that's one that's changed.
Uh-huh.
Also, I'm just getting word that we have the test is posted to our Facebook,
okay.
Positive Mind Center's Facebook.
Oh, okay.
The Positive Mind Facebook, so you can get it there if you're connected.
Fantastic.
To us on Facebook.
So yeah, you're right, Ben. We do change, and that that would be a good question to give people. I know we're not going to take any more calls, but you know, how is your upbringing influencing these qualities?
I'm sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Like Lorraine was the oldest daughter. She had three younger sisters.
100%.
How did being agreeable and kind was needed in those years, but maybe not so much now? So she could sort of let go of some of her agreeableness and get more in touch with her openness. And these are things, you're right, that you can get more in touch with. For instance, take charge. There might have been times in your life when you did not take charge. But now it's a very accurate description of who you might be. So these are some of the questions you'll find on our website and at Penn State. Where, Ben? Penn State?
If you just go on Google and search Penn State personality test, should be the first thing that comes up. It's the five-factor model personality test.
Yeah.
And if you have a few hours, why not sit down and take that 33?
No, come here and do the Enneagram test instead.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, I'm going to try to block some time. The next few weekends are pretty full for me, but
yeah.
I'm going to try to find a Sunday afternoon where I can do all 3,300 of these questions.
Okay.
That's a lot of questions.
What would you like to be more of? There's a question. Like, and what would you want to be less of? I mean, obviously neuroticism, I want to be less of neuroticism. I would like to feel a sense of calm and safety and security.
So I personally would like to be more agreeable.
Uh-huh.
Right? We talked at the beginning of the show about stubbornness.
Yes.
And I think that my stubbornness is a reflection of my low level of agreeableness.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm.
The fact that I'm a skeptic, I tend to be a skeptic on most things.
Yes.
I think that's also a reflection of low level agreeableness.
Good for you.
I don't want to be, you know, a trusting person who just will believe anything
mm-hmm.
and who will go with anything.
And you don't, and you never have, and I don't think you ever will.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a proponent of the concept of just go with the flow. I don't think that's always think that's the right move, mm-hmm. for me anyway.
Yeah. Was there ever a time when that would have been useful? I'm thinking of high school for you.
Yeah, I definitely didn't go with the flow in high school.
Right.
But I'll say this. I mean, I think it comes down to what kind of life we want to live, what kind of person we want to be, how we choose to be and interact and deal with our world, right? If you go with the flow, it can result to you a lot of great benefits, right? Great rewards from
mm-hmm.
society,
mm.
a good credit score, for example,
I got you.
Right?
That's right.
You know, good standing.
Conscientious
in
people
the community.
Always pay their taxes on time.
Right.
They never get the like. Delayed tax
or pay their taxes period. A lot of people like don't agree with what their tax money is used for, and they say I'm just not going to pay my taxes.
I don't know any of those,
right? I know some people like that, yeah. And they are as off the grid as they can be.
Yeah, so yeah. We want to kind of cement this concept to people, the ocean, this openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism with people. I wonder if we should take a few more last calls, Ben, about which one do you want to be more of at this stage of your life? Have you been overly task-oriented, overly disciplined, overly diligent, conscientious? Is it time the kids are growing up and now I'd like to get back in touch with being open?
Right.
Fun-loving
and adventure-seeking.
Yes. And right. I want to go to a political debate, or I want to go to a museum, or I do want to take photography classes.
Or I want to jump out of an airplane.
Or I want to jump out yeah. of an airplane. These are all openness qualities. So,
sure.
So maybe you've lived a life where you've had to be one. Or if you've been an introvert for very long, that maybe you'd like to try on being the life of the party. How's that? I mean, that's a big stretch. You couldn't expect somebody who's an introvert to do that. But you could expect them to be an ambivert, where they can feel free and feel at ease and comfortable at a party.
Good point.
So maybe a couple more calls. 212-757-5555. It is the end of summer. I hate that phrase. It's the end of summer. But, you know, we wanted to play some ocean music for you.
You know what I do like, Kevin, is that it's been a lot drier. I like the dryness in the air. I do like that. When you wake up in the morning now, there are the very early hints of autumn. You know, that crispness.
What are you hearing? What are you seeing?
Just the crispness in the air. When you wake, you know, early in the morning. Early, like 6, 7 o'clock in the morning.
Mm.
You know, a month ago, 6, 7 a.m., it was still like 80 plus and steamy humid.
Right.
Right now, 6, 7 in the morning.
And it's dark at 8, right? It's getting dark, you know, at 8:10.
So there are those feelings. Then that being said, there are also the sort of traditionally exuberant signs of summer. Like, there's something to me about cicadas.
Oh?
The sound of cicadas faint in the distance or even nearby.
I haven't heard them this summer.
I have heard them.
What do they come out every 17 years? Is like
no. Well,
what,
so
is that? What a cicada is?
That's when there's like the throng of cicadas, the mass.
Oh, okay.
You know, chorus invasion of cicadas, but they're around. I mean, they're
okay.
Or maybe I'm
just wondering. Like some go to sleep for 17 years, and the ones that were
maybe,
sleeping 16
maybe
years,
I'm just
it's their turn to come out.
Associating that noise with a different. But for me, you know, the idea of summer, you know, it has a lot to do with noises, like the faint. The faint ring of the ice cream van, right?
Oh,
off in the distance.
Yes.
Like, that's a summer noise.
It is.
Right?
Mr.
The sound of cicadas, the sound of a lawnmower in the distance, right?
And the smell of
yeah,
cut grass.
I mean, that's also spring and summer smell. But
I see. Yeah. Well, I know fall's coming when I hear the sound of a leaf that's a dead leaf on the ground blowing, you know, and it's like, it's here. And I don't know, I think I saw a few on the sidewalk there. Here's a question, Ben. We only have 8 minutes. What's one word you'd use to describe me?
That's a good question, Kevin. Way to put me on the spot.
I'm sorry.
That's you hear that?
Yeah, what is that?
That's the cicada sound.
Hold it.
Yeah, it wasn't a very good one. See if I can find a better one. What's a word I would use to describe you? Let's see. That's a good question, Kevin. I mean, you are, I would say, one of your qualities that I like the best is you have a childlike quality, which I would say is very different from childish.
Yeah.
I
understand.
Not childish. Totally. Not childish. Childish is annoying.
Anyone over
the age of 12.
Yeah, right.
But childlike is endearing.
Thank you.
I do think that you have certain childlike qualities that I really appreciate.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Yeah.
Yes, I've been able to hang on to some of those.
Yeah.
You know, I have a lot of energy for positive
things.
You
must be a younger sibling.
I am. I'm the 11th child. So I learned to get along with everybody. You have to be agreeable when you're the 11th child in a family.
Yeah, and somewhat extroverted too, I imagine.
But I think I'm more introverted than extroverted.
Yeah.
Because I need to recharge and separate, and I'm not the, I used to be a little bit at the party, but I need to recharge my batteries. There's a cicada.
Yeah.
There's a cicada.
That's a summertime sound.
And I think my openness leads me to being childlike. That I like to get, and I'm curious about people and see how they function and what makes them function better and what makes them happier. And I'm always trying to think of ways to let people experience the more enjoyable parts of being alive. So thank you, Ben. Childlike.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
It's a good
thing. Just in terms of the way that, when things that you and I connect on personally outside of work.
Yeah. We,
right? And sense of humor overlaps. And
yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes you have this grin, Kevin, that just makes me think of the grin of being like in middle school or high school, right? Being a mischievous student.
I understand. My mother would love to hear that. We have another caller coming
in. Yeah, so thanks for calling. We have Aaron on the line. Hello, Aaron.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you? You're closing us out. Tell us about what you've heard today.
I'm sorry, what?
You're going to be our last call, so tell us about what you heard today and where you stand on these personality traits.
Oh, yeah. I think it was really good what you guys were talking about. I was kind of surprised, actually, with the neuroticism, how I actually identified with that when you were talking about moodiness. At least in this point of my life.
Really?
At a time where I was really not able to the adjectives. I was practicing breathing and meditation a lot more.
Do you have children?
Yes, I do.
How many?
I have two. One 17-year-old girl and one 14-year-old boy.
Oh, boy. So that could make a dad neurotic.
Yeah, it's pretty tough, the teenage stuff, but we're getting through it all right.
Yeah. So, are you feeling under stress a lot? I mean,
Recently it seems like it. There's just a lot of stuff going on. We were homeschooling my daughter for a little while. She was having some trouble in school, and I think that was actually really good for her to just kind of take a break from the whole scene and give her some space so that she could make more independence, for her when she wanted to do the work and things like that.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah, that definitely seemed to help her.
And how's your partner helping you out?
Good. She's actually, she's very solid with emotions and things like that. Like I was talking about being moody.
Yeah.
She's not quite the opposite, but she's very good at keeping herself under control and keeping things calm when they start getting heated. So it's good. So she helps a lot.
Do you ever have times with her when you can just sort of rest your head on her and just sort of tell her or her ask you, tell me what's hard?
What do you mean, with my wife?
Yeah, with your wife.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, we kind of depend on each other, I guess, kind of equally.
Mm.
But, and I always make sure to tell her, you know, thank you for being...
Yeah. Yeah, I think you called us once before.
No, he doesn't.
Did you call us once before, Aaron? Are you still there? Did we lose him?
I think we lost him.
I think he called once before. Aaron, if you're missing us, you can hear it at the end of on the archive later today. But I think this is critical.
Is he back?
Are you still Aaron. There?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Oh,
okay. I was just asking if you had called us like 6 months ago. I thought I remembered you calling once before.
Oh, no, I've never called in. I wrote the number down.
Yeah.
I wrote the number, I think, when Armand was still on.
Yes, right.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But this new time slot, this is kind of when I'm going home.
Okay.
So I get to listen to you guys more. I would miss you
before. We love it.
Yeah, so it's really good to be able to listen to you guys.
Oh, happy to hear it. We're going to close it out today. You sound like a guy who's ready to have somebody really hear him. You know, I think your wife, if she's the rock, if she's like really stable and you're the one who's really going through this period of stress, that, you know, you might try out just an exercise. We had Harville Hendricks, the couples coach, couples therapist, on about 3 months ago. And he talked about this exercise where the couples alternate between one resting their head on the other person's chest and really the person say, tell me what's difficult right now. And then expanding it, what's difficult in my life in general right now? And then finally, what's one thing I can do for you right now to make life easier?
You're saying I should... Sorry, you were cutting out before there.
Yeah, I think you should listen to the end of today's show on the archive, WBAI.org, and just replay what I just said. And see, because you sound like a guy who's like ready, really ready for a kind of intimacy that could be a whole new level for you and your wife.
Okay.
17 and 14 is a tough years to manage. it would make sense to have irritable and or just sort of having a high in neuroticism right now.
Okay, well, that definitely makes sense.
All right, my friend. Thanks for giving us a call.
All right, you guys take it easy.
You too.
Thank you.
212-757. Do we have time for one more? 757
right
5555. One more. Tell me one more about me. So I'm childlike. But, so I do have this mischievousness. I love it. Armand had that too.
He did.
He had a grin.
He definitely did. Sort of a big Cheshire cat grin. You
right.
Know?
There we go. That's cool. I'm glad we did this. You and I haven't hung out and had a relaxing radio show 2 hours now, Ben. That's a lot of time to cover, but I'm glad we could do this on the air today.
It is true, Kevin. It's been a lot of guests, a lot of hectic shows, a lot of packed schedules, and it's been great hearing from everyone who called in today. Wow, we had quite a few callers. Sean, Peter, Janine, Lorraine, Colleen, Jonathan, Solomon, Lee, John, Aaron. All of you who have written to us, written us emails, you can send us an email at positivemind@wbai.org. And send Kevin an email, kevin@thepositivemind.com.
Yep. And do the test. You can do it at thepositivemindcenter.com or Penn State.
So we have it on our Facebook page. We added a short version of the test. But you can also find it if you want to go online, Google Penn State personality test. You can get a short and a long version, and the long version, according to Kevin, is 3,300 questions.
Yes,
so, you know, make sure to set your schedules, block your calendar to give yourself time to get through all those 3,300 questions. I did the 120 version. I thought it could be a little bit more accurate, so maybe I will be scheduling a Sunday afternoon to get through all 3,300. We are here every Wednesday from 3 to 5 p.m. on 99.5 FM WBAI. You can find our archived content at thepositivemind.com and streaming on WBAI.org through the archives there. Again, we are The Positive Mind. I'm Ben Starr, Kevin O'Donohue.
bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Thanks again, and don't forget to go on WBAI.org, become a BAI buddy, help support listener-sponsored community radio. Thanks again, and until next time, take care.